From Psalm chapter 18, verse 19, a favorite of many, He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. It's the Prime Life Times in Review, but I got to share with our listeners the study in contrast. We went from slap happy, silly, kind of out of this world, get that, Marianne, to praying up the program and seeing that the Lord grounded us and brought us back to the earth. Get that, Marianne?
I do
and
get
to
it, Mark.
Reality. And so before I share a couple different little shout-outs, did you get to tune in on Monday and hear our interview with Trent Meacham?
Oh, yeah.
Great godly man that's a family man, loving the Lord, and desiring to use his gifts and talents and abilities to further kingdom purposes and to help clients and such. And so it was fun having Trent in here at the studio on Monday. And then yesterday, Pastor Warren Brazzi, and I was in the Springfield studio interviewing him along with the station manager there, John Swinford. And he's from the Berlin Christian Church in New Berlin, Illinois. When you walked across Illinois, Rob, did you make it over to New Berlin, Illinois?
No, I did not. However, there's also a Berlin in New Hampshire. So I was headed there, but I didn't make it.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
That's such a cool story about you doing that, Rob.
So I opened up with Psalm 18:19. Not only is it a favorite of many and a wonderful promise to us all, He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. And I was thinking about spacious places, Marianne, because when people talk about outer space and the moon, there's a lot of room up there. There's a lot of room to, say, take someone's novel and place it there. What's this newest update I'm hearing about your book that we spent over a year reading during Mark and Friends is going to the moon?
Yes, it is. My book is going to be put in a time capsule and taken on the first commercial spacecraft from America. Actually, it's the first spacecraft from America since Apollo, but the first commercial one to the moon. And it will be on the Peregrine lander. And it's in a time capsule. It'll be in the northeast quadrant left with a number of other books and a lot of scientific research and a lot of well-funded university research is going in the Peregrine. So, yep, that's going to happen.
Yeah, you were pretty excited the other day when you found out, I guess, some notable authors that knew some other notable authors
and
somebody knew
me.
Somebody from NASA. And somehow your book got recommended. Now, the title of your book is?
Memories of an African Son. And who would ever have thought that a book about that long ago time is going to be sitting on the moon?
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that you're over the moon about this?
I guess. It's just shocking. It's like, wow, I feel like I've jumped into the future.
Yeah, we were laughing about it on Monday. Just like, what are the odds of the millions of books that could be chosen and be included that yours got handpicked? And so, I mean, we were trying to speculate if somebody lands on the moon and finds it someday, could be ministered to by it.
You know, I know the second aircraft is going to the South Arctic pole of the moon, and I think the third one is too. So I don't know how long it's going to be till somebody goes back to the Northeast quadrant.
And
eventually, someone will be there.
And it's going to be in one of those time capsules. So 50 years from now, I forgot. Let's open this up.
What's
in there?
They've got backups. They've got all kinds of stuff under lock and key so it doesn't get lost up there.
Yeah. So our very own Marianne's book
in
is going to the moon.
It's very spacious.
Very spacious place. So
you're really getting up in the world, Marianne.
Or off the world. Out of this world. Some people, well, we won't go there.
So, that's pretty exciting. And we're excited for you in that. Now on Wednesday, generally, we have a content contributor or a special guest in to read their story or article or share something. You know, maybe it's even an advertiser. I know last week we had Gay and Jackson, and we were talking about the unique service that they provide through Synergy Home Care. And today I want to highlight something. I'm going to see if I can pull off an interview. I don't know if it'll happen. But if you'll note on page A9, and so I want to alert our listeners, don't shop at Rural King for the next few weeks.
Wait, don't say that on the air. What do you mean,
wait,
don't shop?
Wait until March 14th.
Oh my goodness.
Wait for another 10 days if you have some major purchases or need to get
you can delay.
You're busted, Mark.
Yeah. How about you start over? Please shop.
Yeah. So we want you to shop at Rural King March 14th through the 27th as you look at this ad that says, a way to support great news media, shop and give. Just shop your Illinois and Indiana Rural Kings on March 14th through the 27th. And then there's the Great News Radio logo and Rural King. And if you hold on to your receipts and stop by the Rural King website, and basically it's ruralking.com/churchweek, and then you look up Great News Radio, 10% of your purchases will be donated back to the station. So if you have some major purchases that can wait a week or so,
how are you going to say this and phrase this correctly?
Okay, yeah. just a hint to our listeners. You have to look under Illinois, and then you have to look under Fisher. If you're looking under Champaign or Urbana, you will not find Great News Radio.
Or if you scroll down all the way to G, you'll see Great News Radio, and then you can click on it, and then it'll show Great News Radio out of Fisher, Illinois.
Very helpful to us if people will do this.
And then if you type in your receipt number, there's a method. And if you have trouble doing it, Karen will walk you through it. Right, Karen?
Hi, Karen.
Yeah,
sorry, Karen.
Hold on to your receipts, but they have to be dated March 14th through the 27th. And
so
10% will come back to the station. We did that last year. The
great
purchases.
Everything helps.
I think, Rob, you even held up. Didn't you get a chainsaw or
something last year?
So every purchase, 10%.
Rob has things like chainsaws and all sorts of stuff.
Let's hope Mary's not listening. Maybe I'll buy another chainsaw this year.
No.
March 14th.
She is so perfect for you. She's so good. You do all these, what are they, projects. There you go.
See, Rob can justify it now. But Mary, I had to do this on behalf of Great News Radio.
That's right.
Mary actually said, I think you better get another chainsaw. She knew my chainsaw.
Boy, that's like music to your ears, wasn't it?
And
that's like volunteers for Mark Burns.
Yeah. Hey, honey, go buy it. Whose wife says that? Hey, honey, better go buy a chainsaw.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, she's perfect for me.
Speaking about rural, all things rural. You got the guy here, Rob Seidenberg.
Mr. Rural himself.
This column, Rural Memories, is getting very popular. I have to say that. And Rob himself, I consider Rob a mentor. I mean, he's amazing.
And who wrote us the other day stating how good Rob is?
I don't know.
Mark,
we can't talk about that yet.
Mark
Kugler did that, and I'll tell you about that. But first, we've got to read the article.
Okay.
So we do that now, Mark?
Page A11, turn with us.
Cracklins.
And those of you throughout central Illinois or west central Indiana, we have 350 different locations where you can pick up this free edition. And I think we've added like 10 or 12 new monthly subscribers. Actually, Meg, I think she got 5 or 6 gift subscriptions for family members and in-laws and other people that she knows. And a number of other people just recently signed up from Springfield to Decatur and other areas. So we appreciate all of you that subscribe. And it gets mailed right to your home. It's $30, and basically that covers just the first-class postage to mail 12 editions to you in a nice envelope. And so
it's very helpful if people do that.
You can find out more at primelifetimes.com under the subscription tab.
Now, I have to admit, I didn't know what cracklins were until I got this article. And I know that, of course, I'm an outer space kind of person, you know, on spaceships and so forth. But anyway, read it to us, Rob. It's very interesting.
Will do. Rural Memories, cracklins, and we're on page A11 in case you want to follow along. When pigs were shorter in length, 200 pounds was market weight. Hogs approaching that weight were sorted out to take to town. Sorting was complicated, involving inside pens, outside pens, portable gates, and lots of little hog-sized doors in the east end of our barn. Several people we knew sustained serious injuries from a tap on the head with a pole, from someone trying to stop a recalcitrant porker from emerging from captivity in an unauthorized manner. Dad was always scared to death he might hit Mother instead of a pig.
Oh, jeez.
When she stuck her head out one of those little doors to see what was going on. Though I wanted desperately to help with the hogs, my parents understood the danger hogs posed, particularly to a little kid. I had to watch from a safe distance. Even then, they kept warning me to stay well back.
Interesting. Stay well back.
Oh, yeah.
Well back.
Yeah. Stay well back. My parents were very careful with their words, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Dad had once had his arm ripped open by the sharp teeth of a sow whose brood he was inspecting.
Oh.
The excitement and pandemonium of hog sorting days. Porkers, though feeling no pain, were upset by this change in routine. They squealed bloody murder no matter which group they were in. You heard when neighbors sorted hogs. Of course, you don't have to lay a hand on a hog for it to squeal. My close, in-town neighbor's pet pig ran squealing around the backyard when she let it out in the yard morning and evening. Dad had a big flat piece of wood.
I have to digress here. So did you know of this neighbor's pet pig? And
everybody within two or three blocks knew of it. However, that pig, after breaking through the fence and running down the street and into the neighbor's yard, pursued by five or six big University of Illinois vet med students, finally they cornered it, jumped it, and picked it up by its legs and carried it upside down back to its house, squealing all the way. And then after that, we didn't hear it anymore, and I think it went back to her farm.
That's the story Mark Kugler wanted you to tell.
Yeah. That pig does not figure in this story, however,
all right. Okay.
Other than just that little bit. Dad had a big flat piece of wood with straps near the top on each side. With it, he would coerce a 200-pounder to climb the ramp into the flare box wagon, reach over the pig, and open the door for it to go in. The trick was to get new hogs in, but prevent those on board from leaving. This exhilarating challenge was much like navigating two intersecting lines of customers at Kohl's.
Oh, geez.
Just before Christmas.
I love that.
I was a nuisance, excitedly providing play-by-play comments. Dad, the red one's turning around. He's coming back toward you. I was three.
That's great.
Dad would hitch the loaded wagon to the old car and haul our on-the-hoof crop to town, condemned prisoners standing on hind legs, peeking out over the sides.
Wait, so you would drive these hogs, these piglets, into town with
piglets.
A car?
They were 200-pounders. Now, today a market hog is much bigger because hogs are 1.5-2 feet longer than they were then.
But a car?
That's story.
This wasn't a wagon?
Yeah, one of those big old wagons, and these pigs are up on their tiptoes looking over.
A flare wagon comes up like this, squared up, and then it angles out, and then comes back up again. It's used for mostly grain and so on. So they would be looking out over the side of the wagon, which Dad would be pulling behind the car.
Yeah, but behind the car.
Yeah, behind the car. He hooked it onto the car and drove off.
What kind of car is going to be driving
like
all these?
Do you feel like we're stuck on this sentence?
Yeah, it was an old car. That's all we ever had. And it was a Chevy.
Gosh, Mark. Let's get this straightened out.
Or it might have been a 39 Ford that Dad got from Grandpa. That thing would have pulled two wagons. Okay, so we processed our own meat together with the landlord, who got as much as we got. You get a liver, we get a liver. You get a ham, we get a ham. Reminds me of the Crawdad song. I'll get a line and you get a pole. Once we had our own farm, we kept back two or three fat hogs for the table, so to speak. I fondly remember delicious sausage and gravy, cured hams, baked with fresh pineapple slices on top. Little kids peering through the oven glass. Mother, is it done yet? And the hickory-smoked bacon. Hog butchering days were big occasions. We marshaled all available people power, recruiting extra help from relatives, friends, and neighbors. When they butchered, we showed up to help them, too. Many hands really do make lighter work. Grandpa's enormous cast iron pot, otherwise lying in his farmyard, sat on a blazing wood fire. As a little boy, I always found that giant cauldron fascinating. I pictured Robin Hood and his merry band of outcasts cooking up a big pot of royal venison or rabbit stew. We heated the leaf lard in Grandpa's kettle. Big kettles in the local vernacular, were once ubiquitous. You likely saw them in your youth. Nowadays, you might spot one half buried under a mailbox or used as a planter. Heating the lard was called rendering. We first cut leaf lard into small pieces with a razor-sharp knife. We put a little water into the pot first so the lard wouldn't burn. Once cooked down and nearly liquefied, everything went into the lard press, which doubled as a sausage stuffer. The hogs thoughtfully provided the sausage casing, too. We used everything but the squeal.
Oh, jeez.
Once the lard was squeezed from a batch of heated, rendered leaf lard, we emptied out the cracklings, hot remnants of the rind, a very crisp residue, before adding the next batch for pressing. These hot, squeezed rind pieces went on a table that was covered with old, clean bed sheets, feed sacks in an earlier incarnation.
Oh, jeez.
We kids salted those scalding hot cracklings and ate them as quickly as possible. Our elders warned us repeatedly not to burn our fingers. They admonished us about getting stomach aches if we ate too many too fast. We always burned our fingers and ate too many too fast. We thought cracklings absolutely delicious, and we had a nearly endless supply for one day only. The grown-ups showed little interest in this treat. Of course, we soon moaned and groaned with cramps in our little tummies, even as we kept stuffing ourselves. Just so you know, these were nothing like the strange concoction you buy in a bag labeled cracklings. Ours were vastly superior in every way, except for the stomach ache.
Yeah, I didn't know what cracklings were.
Oh, thank you for admitting that.
Yeah.
So, copyright Rob Seidenberg. Rob grew up on a farm, but never outgrew the farm. And so you can contact Rob at rob@primelifetimes.com. Did I say that twice? rob@primelifetimes.com.
Well, they couldn't spell my last name, so Mark made my email address real short. In fact, I'm not sure I will always be able to spell my last name. So.
Yes, you will.
That was page A11 in this month's edition, the March edition of the Prime Lifetimes, available at over 350 locations. Hopefully you've picked up your edition, and when you're finished reading it, pass it on to a friend. Or if you pick it up at a restaurant or a grocery store, thank the owner or the management for allowing us to be placed there. It's a service, a courtesy that they do that on our behalf, and that way we can get the news out about this great paper that's informative, engaging, and positive. And better yet, then they learn about this radio ministry, and better yet, they get to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So. And feel free to contact the content contributors. The emails are after the articles, and a lot of people do that, but I think some people feel kind of shy about doing that, but it's kind of a fun conversation to talk to them.
Yeah, so. And Rob's approachable. He'll answer your email.
You know what? I've heard from people from Indiana, Illinois, and people who grew up around where I did who now live down in this area.
Well,
it's been a lot of fun.
You're a fun one to write email to because you have interesting stories you write back about. And everybody, shop Rural King on the, what is it again, Mark?
Starting the 14th.
March the 14th.
Yeah, there we are, page A9, shop and give 10% of your purchases as long as you stop by their website and type in your receipt information, because every receipt has a personalized number, and then they can track it and evaluate it, and then 10% goes to this ministry, but it's only on dated receipts from March 14th through March 27th, and we'll have some radio announcements.
Now, Mark didn't authorize this spot, but you know, if you get the Rural King credit card, you get 5% back yourself. So you're giving 10% to God, and you're getting 5% back. That's pretty generous, you know. So just think about that, you know.
And it seems like there's a number of Christian people in management and ownership of the Rural King. And there's lots of Rural Kings there throughout Indiana, Illinois. So there's probably a Rural King somewhere near you, from Springfield to Decatur to further south into Indiana. They're all over. And I think they have a number of scriptures, you know, on their website. And the other day when I called to talk with someone to see if I could get an interview, the automated message ended with God bless you and such. And I was like, wow, that's really nice.
So, the last time I was there, the young lady at the cash register said, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so you said something, Rob. You said about your parents. You said they always chose their words well. What? Tell us about that.
You know, it's very interesting because my mom was a school teacher.
Okay.
And she would eventually retire from that after teaching at one-room schools and then eventually becoming the art teacher in a town for all the schools. And I was working as a mapper in the supervisor of assessments office, drawing property boundaries. Those are called cadastral maps. Mark, I know you wanted to know that.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
My mom walked in and she said to the boss, is my son here? And she said, Oh, I'm sure he is. I saw him come in at 8 this morning. She said, but is he here at this moment?
Oh, my.
And so that lady said to me later, was your mom a school teacher?
Oh, geez.
But she was very particular about her wording. And Dad was, too. And Dad had a little college after he retired. But, you know, he was pretty much self-educated. He made it through high school, which was rare in those days. He was the first in his whole family to go to high school.
But didn't you say that they... Or did you do that? Bought an encyclopedia with their wedding money or something like that?
No, they bought a three-volume dictionary.
Okay.
And an atlas.
I think that's so cool. These people really cared about learning.
They did. And we were...
And then they look at you. You have so much learning.
Do I have to?
I haven't had a haircut since the pandemic started.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, okay. You have so much intellect.
It's a good thing we're not on
They helped produce that in you.
It's a good thing we're not on TV.
Yeah, oh, my word.
Well, we're going to close out the program how we opened it up with a special verse from God's Word, the Word that we want to have on our minds and hearts and think about and ponder and let it be a reflection of how we treat others and how we love on God. But from Psalm 18, verse 19, He brought me out into a spacious place.
Mm.
He rescued me because He delighted in me. Just ponder that God delights in you. He desires to work in and through you. He has your best interest in mind. He has an eternal perspective, so it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy or nice or you're going to have cracklings on the table or you're going to be well-fed or everything's going to just work out. There are trials, there's tribulations. Sometimes it's to refine our character, but God is a God that is full of grace and mercy. He does delight in you. The fact that you've been born, that you've been created, was part of His handiwork. From all eternity, He had you in mind and He brought you into existence. You're not here by chance or circumstance or just because a man and woman got together and boom, there you are. God designed you from the earliest of time and had you in mind and wants to spend eternity with you. So draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you.
One thing is really for sure, God does love you to the moon and back.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marion Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.